Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live Cenacle series. And today we have with us Mother Gabriel Maria and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. But actually, Mother's not with us today. Neither is Sister Francesca. But we do have the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us, I believe, from two locations, if that's not accurate. I'm going to ask the Mother House to unmute themselves. And we're going to pin the video there so you can see them and not me. Hello, sisters. I don't think
hey,
we have all... There we go.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, Peter. Hello, everybody.
Excellent. Now, sister, can we also bring in San Marino? Are they expecting to join us?
At the moment, they're there already.
Oh, they are. Yeah. Okay. Oh, there they are. Okay. So let me just pin the. Well, first of all, let me ask them to unmute themselves, and then they can just toggle back and forth.
Okay, that's great. That's more fun that way.
That way, we can just jump in whenever we would like to. Mm-hmm. They have a different couch. It's a different color, no?
Well, it's actually just a blanket. A darker color because the other one is kind of like fading, so Mother wants to kind of protect the other one, the original.
I thought you were just trying to test if I'm being attentive or not.
Yeah.
Well, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna begin with prayer, and we're going to use what we've been using for the last several months, I think, the supplication from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. This is day 31, the Virgin Mary's Assumption into heaven. This is the soul, us, to our glorious Queen, our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your pierced lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we indeed ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, it's just a joy to be here. We're grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. So, sisters, and welcome back, Sister Benedicta. I think they can hear us, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're muted? Oh, you can unmute yourself? Oh, okay. Well, we'll work on that. But sister, or sisters, I should say, you know, when we read that that supplication, you know, there's something more surprising that our Blessed Lady is going to tell us. She states that in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom too. She says that there are secrets that she wishes to divulge. And you know, when we think about a secret, sort of in our lives, it usually has a nefarious or a negative connotation, like you're holding back something that's vital. Our Lady and our Lord is holding back, waiting for us to be ready to receive it. And we can go back to scripture also when our Blessed Lord said, there's much more I've got to tell you, but you're not yet disposed. It's sort of like, you know, speaking when the microphone's not on. It's good you're speaking, but nobody's listening to you. Nobody's hearing you, even more importantly. So again, as we help to dispose ourselves, because remember our Blessed Lord and our Blessed Lady, they've gone around all souls, and they've disposed souls, let's say 80%. Now it's up to us to give our fiat and now work. And the work that we have to do is very little. I mean, basically, we're just unveiling stuff. We're just taking covers off stuff to find out what's there. But all the hard work has been done by our Blessed Lord, our Blessed Lady. And she's brought us all together. And she's brought us all together today, which is really amazing. And you know, when I was looking through, you know, a theme for today, you know, it's always easy because it doesn't matter where you open the Book of Heaven, what volume you're in, because whatever volume you're reading from, it connects all 36 volumes anyway, if you allow our Lord to do that connection. And if you're reading a specific passage, if you just take one or two lines from that passage, it's really incorporating the entire passage in of itself. But again, this is something that doesn't happen naturally to us. It's really not in the natural order per se. So we have to allow God to sort of grant us these mystical gifts, these unheard of gifts, these, as he claims, never before given gifts, to allow us sort of to connect the dots. And once we're able to, then everything makes sense. You know, it was like I mentioned on Radio Maria, Father Nuzzi made the statement one time. He says, the divine will is very difficult to explain in words, but it's very easy to understand once we accept it. Because once we accept it, we're given the grace and graces to understand it. We can't do it by ourselves. In fact, even Jesus tells Louisa throughout the volumes that the reason why this is going to take the church a very long time is because they're going to approach it initially to try to decipher it and to try to understand it and interpret it through human reason and through human intellect. And Jesus says, it's impossible. This is a divine reality. It cannot be explained in human terms right now without the grace of graces that I'm waiting to give to you. So I think this is a great passage to begin with. And sister, I thought what we would do is now we're going to have to, as we've been doing the last couple sessions, we're going to break this in half, take a slight pause. It's only because it makes it easier for me for the upload because of the two locations. It's using a lot of bandwidth. So I thought we would, what Jesus reveals to Louisa, I thought we would take that passage first for the first half of the program. And again, it doesn't matter what passages we go to after that because it's all connected. But I thought we would take maybe the first paragraph, and I'll kick it off, and then maybe I'll throw it to you to complete the paragraph, and we can sort of let the Holy Spirit reign. Now I'm sensing it's not too warm there right now. I see Sister fanning herself there.
Yeah, it's warm, humid.
It's very warm today, really.
Yeah. Well, not very. Like there are other days that it's warmer, but it's still warm.
We're getting ready for August. Yeah. That's when we have the most humidity plus the heat. That's the
But we're putting our lovies in it. We're doing our act and rounds on this moisture and the heat and
every drop of sweat.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't need any warmth either. If we recognize maybe a couple hundred people are going to be listening today from about 14 or 15 different countries, that doesn't really make you any more warm, does it? No, we don't get nervous anymore. It's all God doing this. But so I'm going to kick this off. This is from Father Anuzzi's. We took this out of the dissertation. Now, I have not been able to locate the volume and the passage. So that I will get to you. I threw an email out to Father, and I'm waiting for him to respond. But we do have the words. So this is what to Louisa, Jesus reveals. And again, it's so appropriate for the time we're in right now. We can just clear our minds from all our problems and even from all our earthly joys, and just dive into this if we may. So to Louisa, Jesus reveals, quote, my daughter, as the soul accomplishes its acts in my will, it multiplies my life. Now, when I read that first sentence right away, I think of Mother Gabriel Marie, acts and rounds, you know, file acts and rounds under M for mother, because it really is the way we repair, we redo, we fill the void. We accomplish the, quote, complete act in the divine will only through acts and rounds. And so I think that was really astonishing. Then it goes on to say, wherefore, should it accomplish 10 acts, us, in my will, it multiplies my life 10 times. Should it accomplish 20, 100, 1,000 or more acts, so many more times am I multiplied. The same thing occurs at the sacramental consecration. I am multiplied for as many times as there are consecrated hosts, but with the difference, in order for me to multiply myself at the sacramental consecration, there must be a priest who consecrates me as well as the hosts. I'll stop there. So again, there's some contingencies for this grace, for this divine will in the Holy Eucharist to come to us for the 15 or 20 minutes that the church says it's within us until the host dissolves. So there's some contingencies and there's some needs. And of course, we know that in the era that we're in right now, there are very few priests. Priests are becoming even more scarce. And it's even additionally scarce to find a priest that's journeying in the divine will. There's only a few. There aren't many. In fact, it was a few years ago, not to put a damper on things, but it was a few years ago that the American Council of Bishops came out with a, I guess, prognosis. And they said, if everything stays the same, unless there's some really divine intervention, by the year 2075, which right now is only about 50 or so years away, there will not be a single priest in the United States. Wow. And that includes the priests that we have coming to us from the Philippines, from Vietnam, from Nigeria, from all over the world, really. So we have the attrition, we have the age, we have the lack of vocations in the seminaries. We have a lot of reasons, but Jesus tells us, don't fret. He says, if there are 10, I will work miracles with the 10. Look what he did with the apostles, right? That was the first ordination, the Last Supper. He started with 12. And look what happened. So again, we shouldn't be dismayed, but I think we have to recognize that there's an urgency here. We really can't waste time. And that's why we try to do as much as we can, as often as we can, again, without overwhelming our senses. Because then, yeah, again, this is not a speed reading class where we just want to rush through the volumes and retain very little. This is really, in my opinion, it's quality over quantity. Again, you read a small bit of a passage and it connects. Again, it's just a door. It's a way in. And God then opens up all the floodgates. But again, he waits for us to take that first step. He waits us. We're on the starting block of a race. He waits us to come out of the block, take the first step, and says, okay, I'll run the rest of the race. But you have to start it. And if I can find the phone. Okay. And that's what he's doing with each and every one of us. Sister, any comments?
Hello. Well, actually, I was just imagining what you were saying about reading the volumes and you can find everything in it. It reminded me of a precious diamond with so many facets. This whole volume, the book, the whole 36 volumes and everything else, the fashion, when we read it, it's like one big piece of diamond with the biggest carats you can ever find in the world. But so many facets, they can look at it and it has a brilliance in it. And it has just one that is the love of God for the humanity. But we can look at everything in it through these different facets and different beauties, different colors. By the way, Peter, the passage that you read, I found it actually, it's in volume 14, March 24, 1922. Volume 14, March 24, 1922.
And volume 14, March 24.
Yes.
1922. Thank you so much for finding that. You saved me a lot of work.
You're welcome. I was looking through all my notes and I found it. Thank God. So I basically what's talking about here, Peter, is Jesus was telling Louisa that our divine acts, our acts united with the divine will. It's kind of like the host, because, you know, in order for the consecrated host, the host to be consecrated, it requires a priest and a host, and then the priest consecrates it. And what he's saying, actually, as if you read down below here, it needs our acts, because our acts united in the divine acts, in divine will or divine volition, then that is kind of like the host that Jesus consecrates himself. So when we offer our acts, like Mother always encourages us to do acts and rounds in divine will. These forms the host that Jesus can consecrate. And you mentioned about maybe possibly in the future we would run short of priests. And yeah, that's true. When we cannot go to church freely anymore to receive communion and to do adoration, no worry, because Jesus can basically consecrate us and we become the living tabernacles. And I've read some passage here, which I'm going to share later, because I would like to give the other sisters a chance also to make their comments. But I'll go ahead, Peter, can I go ahead and look at the other volumes, which connects to this one that you read? I know you didn't finish the passage.
Absolutely, just to go wherever you want to. But what you just said, I just want to mention, Jesus speaks often about that. He's going to create and make us living hosts. Again, yes. not that we're taking the place of the church. I don't want to get phone calls. Peter said we don't need the church. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. But.
Yeah.
In this detrimental situation, this dire straits sort of that we're in, look at what God does and look at the timing. This is not by surprise. This is not by coincidence. He gives us everything. In fact, one last thing before you go into it, sister, when it comes to church closings too, he also explains to Louisa that. He goes, if you notice that the churches are closing, know that it is I closing those churches. Very interesting. Why would Jesus close the churches? Well, basically because the sacrament, the Eucharist, has become now more of a for our damnation than it has for our salvation. So in essence, to save souls, he needs to close churches. So again, it's a paradigm. It's a paradox. It could be so confusing if we look at it through human intellect. We really have to allow God to explain it to us. So go ahead, sister, without further ado.
Yes, true. In volume 12, June 20, 1918. And I read this today, and it connects to this one and explains further and more deeper sense. And so again, further, I reached such jealousy. This is Jesus telling Louisa and us. Further, I reached such jealousy of love that if to priests I give the power of consecrating me in the sacramental host, so as to give me to souls. In these souls, they repeat their acts in my will, as they resign themselves, as they make the human will leave to allow the divine volition to enter, I reserve to myself the privilege of consecrating them. Moreover, what the priest does over the host, I do with them. And not one time, but whenever she repeats her acts in my will, she calls me like a powerful magnet. Then I myself consecrate for me that privileged soul, and I repeat the words of consecration. So become we are the host, we become the host, and then Jesus can consecrate us, and then we become the living host. And then he continues, further, I do this with justice, because the soul, by living in my will, sacrifices herself more than those who receive communion and do not live in my will. Those souls who live in my will empty themselves of themselves to place me in them. They give me complete dominion, and if necessary, they are prompt to suffer any pains to live in my will. So basically what Jesus is saying, this one, is that there's more suffering, there's more love offered by the soul who lives in the divine will because they surrender their human will to give way to the divine will. And this is more sacrifice, more love that we can offer back to the Lord than going to the communion every Sunday and not even thinking about it, not giving our will to God, maybe giving him only a portion and not consistent.
Yeah. And you know, also, sister, not to interrupt you, but you know, when Jesus explains that that the divine will is greater than the Eucharist because it's a perennial communion versus a 15 or 20 minute communion, he also now puts it together too. How does he make that possible? Because it's a perennial consecration, as you just explained in this. So perennial consecration would effectively give us a perennial communion, as if we're receiving the Eucharist every moment of every day, which we cannot physically do that, but spiritually we can do it through the gift of the divine will.
Correct. And I finished that paragraph here, and then I'll get back to you and whoever wants to.
Oh, I'm done.
Moreover, I cannot wait. This is Jesus saying, my love cannot wait to communicate myself to them until it is convenient for the priest to give them the sacramental host. Well, priests are human beings, so I'm sure there are moments when they couldn't, but Jesus says, communicate to them until it is convenient for the priest to give them the sacramental host. Therefore, I do everything myself. Oh, how many times I give myself in communion before the priest feels the convenience of communicating it to them. If this were not so, my love would remain as bound and shackled in the sacraments. No, I'm free. The sacraments I have in my heart, I am the owner, and I can exercise them wherever I want. And I stop here because this is really, we cannot put Jesus in the box. We cannot put God in the box. I mean, I had a conversation with some people before because they said, oh, it's hard to believe the divine will, that Jesus can dwell in us, that he can consecrate us. Well, which is easier to believe? Jesus can consecrate a piece of bread and wine and turn it into his divinity, his very being, body, soul, and divinity. Which is more harder to believe? That or a person which has soul and has all the attributes, all the human faculties, human qualities, human person that Jesus had? So yeah, why not?
Not to mention our human deficiencies as well.
Deficiencies. Yeah.
just to add on to that, I love during the consecration. I always have an image of Jesus like consecrating me too with him, like in a sense of that as Catholics, like, yeah, we receive Jesus and he's calling us to really become an imitator of him, right? And the beauty and the goodness and the glory of God and him sharing the gift of the divine will at this time and in preparation for, yeah, like Lisa talked about, I'm just different passages talking about when we're no longer able to receive, and when churches were closed and we weren't able to receive Jesus in his beautiful sacrament in the Eucharist, and just the hope that that brings to bring people the hope and the joy and the love that the saints talk about spiritual communions, and kind of, yeah, the beauty of the divine will is God consecrating us every moment if we allow him to enter our hearts, to enter our souls, to enter our wills, to give him everything that we are, to transform us, to become his living hosts and tabernacle, and just, yeah, the power that God, King of the universe, gives us as kind of his princesses or his little queens, in a sense, like, to help share his love. It's remarkable, and definitely has, when I was first learning about the divine will, that was probably the most remarkable and most transformative to me. In a sense, like, too good, but knowing how good God is, nothing's too good for him. Like, he wants to lavish his love on us, and like, what better way, Lord, like, than to consecrate us yourself, because who doesn't want to be consecrated by God?
Yeah, and you know, when you mentioned about when you're at Mass and you're feeling like that consecration is just for you, it reminds me of, again, a topic we spoke about on Radio Maria on Thursday, when Jesus explains to us, everything is yours personally. Yes, but we're called to share it. For example, when we walk into the ocean, that ocean is yours. You can do it whatever you wish. But the thing you cannot do is you cannot say, you cannot go in, you cannot go in. Everyone is welcome, but that ocean is yours. Same when it comes to the rain. That rain is yours. That sun is yours. It really is for each one of us. It's for us individually, and it's for us collectively. And we have to remember that, because, again, that's that charity factor, that upright intention, especially when it comes to this gift. We want this gift, of course, for ourselves. Of course, we want it for our families and for our friends. But we want it for all souls, past, present, and future, including those who don't like us. Maybe even especially for those who don't like us. Sisters?
Yeah, it just came to my mind one, like, maybe interesting image. Like, I was just listening to the sisters and watching the computer. And I remember my dad, because sometimes when I didn't know how to do something on a computer, I had a problem, my dad would say, okay, I'm going to go and connect myself to your computer, to your desktop, and I will do, you just need to give me a code. Mm. Like it's a program. You heard about that thing. So I just had that impression, like, it's like Jesus, it's asking us, give me the authorization, to enter into your computer, into you, and your soul. And just let me do everything. You just need to give me the authorization. And then, when someone else is working on your computer, you just, you need to stop doing anything, because otherwise it will get blocked, everything, It's like two wills being, being an obstacle to each other. But also, like, if you agree, if maybe you're attentive and you know well the person who is doing the job on your computer, like, you would sense maybe, what can you help? Like, you're going together. So yeah, that was just kind of like an image I had in my mind. Then also I remembered another computer kind of description. Have you ever heard about this program SETI at home? Search for extraterrestrial. It's like,
yeah.
There are also other things like, unfolding proteins at home, like quantum physics at home. So basically what it does, it's like a big program all over the world that uses your computer power while you're not doing anything. And then like it uses it kind of to do the calculations for that research, So it also reminded me like of rounds, like this big program, that takes kind of possessions or all these computers, like to put them all together and to use it for that, research. So yeah, I mean, divine will, it's really like it's everywhere, and it reminded me. So what we were speaking with Sister Maddalena the other day, like, so it is the work is complete, but it has to be like completed. Yeah, like you said, you know, just God is only waiting for our little effort, you know, to make it completed, and it would be just like beautiful. So yeah, maybe somebody in our sisters want to say anything or something.
Sister Magdalena, is there like a big bug on the table there or something, like an iguana or something? You're looking with a little bit of fright. Is there something coming out? Is some bug coming? Some tarantula or something?
She's auditioning for a horror movie at the moment.
It's the wrong Zoom.
I just have this animated face, that's all.
I thought you saw something that we couldn't see.
She would have made a very successful career as a mime, I believe. She's very expressive. Yes, she's very expressive.
Artista, huh? Okay. but you know what also, Sister, you know, we were talking about I think we also talked about this on Thursday. Oh, San Marino wants to talk.
San Marino, yeah, they're muted. So we're trying.
Oh, I thought they were telling me to be quiet. Okay. You shouldn't be muted, but let me just go back.
We couldn't hear our sisters in San Marino.
Well, you
we
know like what, San Marino, maybe just keep yourself unmuted if you can.
So they just hold up signs like in the black and white.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah, we can do that. Let me just find you. Okay, I've got to unpin you. One day we're going to get somebody who knows how to run this. Just can't find you now. Okay, so I'm going to see if I can. There we go. Unmute. Does that work, sisters?
Yes.
Yay. Hey, how you doing?
In Italian, we say you are birichino.
Birichino means
mischievous.
Yeah, I am at times, but I'll try to be good, sisters, in your presence, of course. So what do you think? We're talking about some really powerful things here. God talking about the Eucharist and the priest.
The reading that I got was right on with what we're talking about. And it comes from volume 12, December 26, 1919. December 26, 1919. It says, to live in the divine will is sacrament and surpasses all the sacraments together. So Louisa was asking, how could it be that doing the will of God surpasses even the sacraments? And Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, daughter, why are sacraments called sacraments? Because they are sacred. They have the value and the power to confer grace and sanctity. However, these sacraments operate according to the dispositions of the creatures, so much so that sometimes they remain even fruitless, unable to confer the good which they contain. Now my will is sacred and holy, and it contains altogether the virtue of all the sacraments. Not only this, it does not have to work to dispose a soul to receive the goods which my will contains. In fact, as soon as a soul has disposed herself to do my will, she has already disposed herself by herself, and my will, finding everything prepared and disposed, even at the cost of any sacrifice, communicates itself to the soul without delay, pouring the goods it contains and forming the heroes, the martyrs of the divine will, of the divine volition, the most unheard of accordance. And then what do the sacraments do if not unite the soul with God? And what is it to do my will? Isn't it perhaps to unite the will of the creature with her creator? It is to dissolve oneself in the eternal volition. The nothingness ascends to the all, and the all descends into the nothingness. It is the most noble, the purest, the most beautiful, the most heroic act that a creature can do. Ah, yes, I confirm it to you. I repeat, my will is sacrament, and it surpasses all the sacraments together, but in a more admirable way. without mediation from anyone, with nothing material. The sacrament of my will is formed between my will and the will of the soul. The two wills are tied together and form the sacrament. My will is life, and the soul is already disposed to receive life. It is holy, and she receives sanctity. It is strong, and she receives fortitude, and so with all the rest. On the other hand, how much my other sacraments have to work to dispose the souls, if they manage at all? And how many times these channels, which I left to my church, remain beaten up, despised, oppressed? Some even use them to praise themselves, turning them against me to offend me. Ah, if you knew the enormous sacrileges committed in the sacrament of confession and the horrendous abuses of the sacrament of the Eucharist, you would cry with me for the great pain. Ah, yes, only the sacrament of my will can sing glory and victory. It is full in its effects and untouchable by creatures' offense. In fact, in order to enter my will, the creature must lay down her will, her passions. Only then does my will lower to her, investing her, identifying her with itself, making portents out of her. Therefore, when I speak about my will, I become festive. I never stop. My joy is full, and no bitterness enters between me and the soul. But for the other sacraments, my heart swims in the pain. Man has turned them into founts of bitterness, while I gave them as fonts of grace. So I read the whole thing because only Jesus can explain it this well, you know, and it makes sense. You know, when you read this, you know, it really just made sense to me how it's in the difference between the sacraments. You know, when you're already disposed to do your will, it's there. It's right there, and he'll grab you. He'll do it at that moment, you know, and with the other ones. You have to wait. We have to be disposed. It has to, like, two things have to meet at the same time, you know? And if it doesn't, then, you know, we lose the opportunity for the grace. So
Because efficacy, you know, I mean, God's power never diminishes, but our ability to receive it, especially during recitation or reception of the Holy Eucharist, you know, if we're not confused, if we're not focused, if we're not in a state of grace. So we water down sort of the, but you know, what's really interesting too, sister, though, I mean, we understand this, everyone on this call understands this, but you know, when it comes to explain this gift to other people, this is probably not the passage you want to start out with. I mean, they're going to run.
And then, you know, and usually I'm like, oh, let me just move. But since we were talking about you know, but when he says it, it makes sense. Like, I would look at this as somebody who's never heard about the divine will, and yes, it makes sense. How many times do people just receive for the sake of everybody seeing them to receive, you know? And like, who was it? Who was the like, you know, they say that, you know, I think it was even in the Bible, like when, I forgot, I think when Judas received communion, but he didn't receive in a state of grace. And what happened to his soul? I mean, at least the book of Matthew says he killed himself. You know, so it's like, you don't, you know, even the church teaches us, that's why you have to receive the communion in a state of grace. Otherwise, it's damage to your soul, you know?
Well, another reason too, you know, and again, this is something that, not to divert too much, but, you know, one of the things, and I'll be honest with you, because I was a sleepwalking Catholic for my first 27 years. Mm-hmm. One of the things I couldn't understand early on was, you know, the big mortal sin of not going to church. I couldn't figure that out. But now with the divine will, it makes it so easy because, again, for that 15 minutes, God is attempting to addict us to his divine will for the 15 minutes so that we may be prepared for the perennial communion. So it does make sense for that. And now that puts it all together. And, you know, when we're receiving it not worthily, again, not only are we not receiving the efficacy, but we're actually damaging. Jesus says we're damaging our soul. So we're basically losing ground, like climbing that mountain. It's tough enough to get to wherever you are. That's where you want to dig in and rest until you can go to the next level. But we're actually losing ground. So we have to be very careful. I think we have to be careful with everything, because even the divine will itself, Jesus tells Louisa, be very careful when you speak about my divine will. But if we get too tied up on that, I mean, we'll be afraid to say anything. So you know, it's nice to share. I mean, what we're doing here, I think it's perfect, because a lot of people, including myself, you know, we've got certain ideas, we've got certain assumptions, we've got certain ways of understanding what Jesus wrote, what he dictated, But to hear it, really, it helps us to clarify, I think, our position. That's why coming together is so important. When Father Brown visited us and he brought a message from the Archbishop of Corrado, I think it was Bishop Pacheri, he gave us a couple suggestions. Number one, he said, do your sentinels in your house. Do them in the house. Nobody can touch you in the house. In the church, if your pastor's not familiar with the divine will, he may have to say, well, you know what, don't do it. I don't know anything about it. So you better hold off on that. Are you going to be disobedient? He just told you don't do it, especially if he's your spiritual director. So do it in your house. Gather. Nobody can stop what's happening in your house. That's number one. Number two, read all the volumes. There was a big misconception for many years that we can only read up to volume 19. That was never true. The bishops have always said, read to your heart's content. The only thing that cannot be done is there can be no new publications, which means Mary's Hill can't reprint all the volumes and say, you know, the Book of Heaven by Mary's Hill. That is forbidden. Only because, not because it's a crime, but it's more that they've got to take out of circulation once the critical edition comes out. So again, I understand that position, but you know, we've gotten phone calls too. Peter, I've been told I have to be careful. We can't meet, we can't read. No, that's all nonsense. In fact, what I think I'll do is at the end of this cenacle, I'll send out the letter by the Archbishop in 2020. And also the one prior to that in 2006, which explains, you know, nothing should deaden our ardent desire to accept this gift, to digest this gift, and to share this gift with others. But yeah, but that's probably a passage I wouldn't come out of the block with. There's others, yeah, too, that are just like that. You know, Father Celso talks about it too. He told Father Burke something similar to that. And Father Burke said, what are you talking about? It's, you know, the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. Well, again, God's not greater than God, but is a 15 minutes with God greater than a perennial moment with God? Of course not. You know, what's greater, a 16-ounce soda or an 8-ounce soda? You know, it just comes to common sense, sisters. And I have common sense too, to be quiet now and go back to sisters.
It's okay, we enjoy listening to you.
Oh,
we
nobody else does.
You, Peter. No, don't
bola, bola.
Oh, no,
I don't remember the name of this lady. She's blessed from Bologna. And one priest in a catechesi said that Jesus appeared to her and he said, your life should be divided in two parts. One day is 24 hours. And the half part, 12 hours, preparation for receiving me in the Eucharist. And the other 12 hours for Thanksgiving. So we are so far. Almost so far.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I agree there. But, you know, it's... And that's why also, you know, we talk about attention and all the passages you've shared so far, sisters, that we also know the reason now why Jesus sent Louisa to bed, told her don't eat, don't drink. You know, he had to grab her full attention. He had to remove almost all distractions from her life so that she can concentrate. Now, we may not be called to be as severe as that, but what I think what God wants us to do is in whatever capacity we're in, he wants us to reorganize, I think, our schedule, so to speak. We have certain obligations that we cannot let go of course, you know, the responsibilities that God has entrusted to us. But the other time, the free time, the spare time, that's where I think we have to reallocate our time, and we've got to get away from the frivolous. We've talked about this too, that the souls in purgatory have explained if they had a regret, their biggest regret was not making better use of the time they had while on earth. So again, if we're watching TV for 3 hours, try cutting it down to 2 to 1, maybe do away with it. You know, if you're playing golf for 12 hours, guys or girls, you know, maybe that's not the greatest use of 12 hours. I mean, especially in the times we're in right now. So there's a bit of urgency, not panic, but urgency. And we may want to look into how we can reallocate our time and better use it.
No panic, but also it's a way to acquire, to have spiritual energy for participate in an active way in this spiritual battle. If we don't do this, we can be able at the point of the battle. It's important. Yes, at the top of the our effort, spiritual effort, not to be, I have to be ready for the battle. No, I have to stay with Jesus. This is the first things. But we also have many prophecy, many, many writings also from Jesus in the writings of Luisa Picaretta. We have to be ready. We have to be ready for something that we know, we don't know when, we don't know how. And it's important because we are called to participate in an active way. We are all baptized.
Yeah, you articulated that, sister, so much better than I did in English, and English is your second language. Kudos to all the sisters there. That English second language, I have a great regards for that.
I have to say that in that day, the days that Sister Benedicta went to visit her family, we were only two in the house, two Italians.
Speak Italiano.
Sister Gemma told me, we have to speak also in English because I said, no. Some days, no, I want to enjoy my Italian.
I don't want to forget my people.
I think you've mastered both. Yeah.
And one point at the beginning, when I were in the community, this is American food, this is American coffee, this is American drink. At one point, after some months, I don't remember, I say, now I want my Italian coffee. I want to remember my culture, my people.
My nation.
And it was Talamello House is an American bunker.
You've got the power to change that, sister.
they have the power of love to change my heart. I have to grow in this international life. Now I start to say I have to share with Sister Gloria. She's reading, and now I am strange. This is very strange. I am just a bit starting to have to interest to Korean cooking, to Korean
teaching.
Yeah, it's very strange for me.
Well, no, Korean cooking is good, but just don't get addicted to the Korean soap operas, though. Those are really bad. No, Korean cooking is good.
I am in a very troubled transformation.
It'll get better, sister.
Sister Gemma. Sister Gemma, want to add something?
Yeah, sure, sister. Yeah. Maybe a little louder, sister, please.
Yes, sure. That when we were talking about the sacraments, also now us that we know the divine will, we have a big role also, and that is to prepare for all the sacrileges that are done with the sacraments and with the receiving the Holy Eucharist in a mortal scene. Unfortunately, I'm sure there are a lot of people who receive Jesus in a mortal state. Maybe some people, they don't even know that some sins are mortal sins. Other people, I'm sure, I hope that's most of the people case. But we have to prepare. We really have to prepare for all this and for all the people that they choose to go to the seaside now that summer, instead of go to 45 minutes mass on Sunday, or they prefer to stay outside enjoying the sun or enjoying the worldly life. And that's Jesus, I'm sure he's suffering a lot because he cannot enter in the hearts of all his children, and he's ready to give us all these graces to go on in this hard life. And most of the people choose not to have this powerful medicine. So we really have to prepare for all this.
Yeah, sister, I don't even think you realize how important that last statement was you made. Again, I haven't thought about this in a while. Remember that there's a few contingencies that we have. Jesus tells us that we need to have an order for us to receive this gift. We need to be in the state of grace, which is number one. And ignorance is bliss, and we're going to be judged on how much we know, but we're sort of kind of, I think, obligated to know what is a mortal sin. So maybe that's something we ought to all investigate. I think we've got the act of contrition by St. Ignatius, I think, do we have it? Something on our website, which gives it's a review of what we need to confess. because again, we don't want to miss out on everything that God is giving us right now. And I think we know that we should know. So we ought to do a little investigation just to go through those four again, the four elements or properties or contingencies that we must have. And Jesus says, this is not mine. Number one, we must be in a state of grace. Number two, we must have an ardent desire. How do you form an ardent desire? Well, Jesus explains that too. Father, I knew he extrapolated out of the volumes. He gave it to us. We put a visual together. So if you go on our website, queenofthedivinewill.org, and on the page entitled Divine Will Visual Aids, you'll see all the components of what we need to possess to form an ardent desire. Again, we want to comply with what Jesus wants. So must be in a state of grace, have an ardent desire. We must have an upright intention. We're talking about that also. We must want this gift for everyone, not just for ourselves, not for our family only, for everyone, our enemies, all souls, past, present, future. I think we all pretty much qualify for that. And the last, which this one caught me by surprise, Jesus wants us to ask for this gift. He wants to hear us ask for it. And that's what we do mostly through our preventing act at first rise in the morning. And we do it in our actual acts. During the day, you'll come divine will, gazing my gazing, driving my driving, eating my eating. So those are not really four very difficult properties to possess to receive this gift. But I think they're very easy, at least for me, they're easy to forget one or two. And again, they must all be complete for us to receive this gift. And I think being in the state of grace is number one, Jesus says. So sister, thank you for reminding us of that. And reminding me, I've got to go to confession.
speaking about reparation, we are reading now a book. I think you know it, In Sinu Jesu. Do you know it?
I really advise you
to read it, because it's a book wrote by a Benedictine monk. He lead we don't know the name. He's only the Benedictine monk. And he lived for a certain time in, I think, a mortal sin. And he had a big conversion. And Jesus called him to living a hidden life, a profound hidden life, in front of the Blessed Sacrament. He's not dead, he's living. And Jesus continually asked to him to adore him in the Blessed Sacrament for him and for all the people that don't adore him, and for all the sin of, the sacramenti?
Sacraments?
No, the peccati di...
sacrilegious,
especially that of priests. And at the beginning, you say that these bishops say that in America there will be no priests. Probably this will be for a certain time. But Jesus say with a specific word to this Benedictine monk, he's a priest also, that only with reparation in front of the Blessed Sacrament, we can touch the heart of other people, especially that of priests, and there will be a new Pentecost, especially for the priests. Yes. So all these, yes, it's true that we will have a bad period with no Eucharist, no priest, etc. But it's only a phase in what Jesus had to purify this church.
He's renewing the priesthood.
But he wants a new priesthood. Right. He's preparing a new era starting from the priest. He continually say to him to pray Our Lady, to pray the intercession of specific saint, Saint Benedict, and the monk who wrote is a commentary about the rule of Saint Benedict. Now I don't remember the title of the book. And it's very special. It very teach us how to do in a correct way the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And he said, I don't want any words. I don't want any any specific position of your heart. You have only to stay in my presence. I want to make full your soul of my presence, and you will be like a son to other souls in a way that you can know now. Only in the future you can understand in what way I can touch the heart of other priests with your adoration. As you have not to worry. People will ask you to do conference. Not, it's not important to be silent, to be hidden in front of my Blessed Sacrament.
Amen. Thank you for that sharing, sister. So we're about 5 minutes past the break time, but we're just going to take a quick pause now. You're listening to the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us live via live stream from Italy. And this is the end of part one.